The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said,
"Not during the festival, for fear that there may be a riot among the people."
When he was in Bethany, reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly, genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant.
"Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It could have been sold for more than 3 days' wages, and the money for the poor."
They were infuriated with her, and Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go?
He sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who was eating with me."
They began to be distressed and say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
He said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish, for the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them and said,
"Take it, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for you. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"I will the shepherd, and she first. But if
I am overtaken,
and she said to him,
They all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch."
He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass him. He said,
"Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will."
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing again, He prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely."
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
"Rabbi."
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled."
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging, "Even so, their testimony did not agree." The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?"
Then Jesus answered,
"I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, and coming with the clouds of heaven."
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
"What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
"Christ."
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said,
"You too were with the Nazarene, Jesus."
But he denied it, saying,
"I neither know nor understand what you are talking about."
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
Once again he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more,
"Surely you are one of them. You too are Galilean."
He began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know this man about whom you are talking."
And immediately, a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
The chief priest accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
"Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of."
Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison, along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him."
Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews,"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him, they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who destroyed the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said, Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
which is translated,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said, one of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James and Joseph, and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was a day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago now, there was a book written entitled The Day the Cheering Stopped. The Day the Cheering Stopped. It was a book about President Woodrow Wilson. As many of you know, Woodrow Wilson was president just before the First World War and during the war and for a short time afterwards. He was responsible in large part for overcoming the isolationism of the time, allowing American troops to go to Europe and fight in the war. When the war was done, he was really acclaimed a hero by people in this country and by people in Europe. When he went to travel in Europe, every country he went to, great crowds of people would be there to cheer him, thank him for what America had done for their country. But it wasn't very long before the European nations started squabbling again. People in this country wanted to go back into their isolationism. He couldn't get the U.S. Congress to agree to allow us to join the League of Nations, which was the forerunner of the United Nations. And he became, again, very much ridiculed and a man that was not well liked. He was under so much pressure that ultimately he had a stroke and within a few weeks died. So here he is, a man who crowds were cheering, and then the cheering stopped. One day cheering him, very quickly afterwards, the cheering stopped. I think we could say the same thing about Jesus, couldn't we? Today, throngs of people cheer him, welcome him, Hosanna to the Son of David, throw down palm branches, throw down their garments, welcome him into Jerusalem as the Messiah, cheering. But in 5 days, the cheering is going to stop. Same people who cheered him as the Messiah will cry out, crucify him. Cheering will stop. We might ask ourselves, why? Why did the cheering stop? When we look at the Gospel of St. Mark, we see that from the time that Jesus went into Jerusalem, several things happened that the people began to be troubled by. First was this. He began to teach them that to be his disciple required real commitment. Commitment to the kingdom. It was one thing, you know, when those people were out with him out on the road and he fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. That's wonderful. They saw him producing all these miracles. That's wonderful. But now he's saying to them, you have got to be committed to the kingdom. And he gives them a couple of examples of that. Tells them the story about the two brothers who were asked by the father to go into the vineyard to work. One says, yes, I'll go, and didn't. One says, no, I won't go, but he goes. And he says to them, who's doing the will of the father? Well, the one who goes into the vineyard. That has to be you. That has to be you. Well, wait a minute now. He tells them the story of the fig tree that doesn't produce any fruit, how he curses that fig tree and it withers up and dies. He says, if you don't go into the vineyard and produce good fruit, that'll be you. Well, wait a minute. That's not exactly the kingdom I envisioned. Wait. Then he tells them not only do they have to be committed, but they have to understand that God wants to save all people. All people are his sons and daughters. Wait a minute, say these good Jewish people. We're the chosen people. You mean God wants to save everybody? They had forgotten that from the very beginning, when God chose them, they were supposed to be the vehicle for salvation for the whole world, but they forgot that. Jesus is reminding them, wait a minute. We have to love the Gentiles? We have to love tax collectors? No. That's not the kind of kingdom I want. Then finally, he says to them, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to live sacrificially. You have to be willing to deny yourself for the sake of others. When you were out there and I gave you all the bread to eat, see, now you've got to share your bread with others. Even when you have to sacrifice, you've got to share your bread with others. No, wait a minute. I didn't bargain for that. That's not what I want. And so the cheering stopped. Cheering stopped. What about for you and me? When we come to here today, take these palms. Those palms mean that we accept Jesus as our Messiah. Those palms mean that we want to be committed to the kingdom, that we intend to take care of every other person as best we can, and that we will live sacrificially. That's what those palms mean. But my brothers and sisters, if you take those palms home today, put them behind a crucifix, put them in behind a holy picture someplace, and the rest of the year you live in an uncommitted way, not loving all of your neighbors, not living sacrificially, those palms will do you no good whatsoever. When you go home today, after cheering Christ here, does the cheering stop in your lives? Cheering stop? We have to answer that question, don't we? Each of us. Let me conclude with a little story about this little 8-year-old boy named Petey. Petey loved to play baseball. He's out there one day at the game. His turn to go to bat. The game is tied. There's a runner on first base. Petey thinks to himself, if I can hit this ball far enough, I'll drive in that run. I'll be the hero. He stands up at the plate, gets himself ready, you know, he's going. Looks over to the coach. Coach gives him the bunt sign. Sacrifice the guy to second base. Give him the bunt sign. Petey looks, stands up there, swings mightily and misses. Looks over at the coach. Coach gives him the bunt sign. Again, desperately giving him the bunt sign. Petey looks at the pitcher. Pitch comes in. He swings mightily and misses. Third time he looks over at the coach. Coach is pulling his hair out. Bunt, bunt, bunt. Petey looks out at the pitcher. Pitch comes in. He swings mightily, strikes out. Goes back to the bench. Coach, Petey, come over here. Come over here. Didn't you see that I was giving you the bunt sign? Didn't you see I gave you the sacrifice sign, the bunt sign? Didn't you see that? Petey said, yeah, I saw it. But I couldn't believe you meant it. See, today Jesus says to you and me, do you see what I'm saying to you? I'm giving you the example of my own dying. You see what I'm saying to you? You must be committed. You must take care of all your neighbors, even those you don't like. And you must live sacrificially. Do you see that? Hopefully we say, yes, I do. But let's remember that Jesus says to us today, and I mean it. I mean it. You see it, know that I mean it. May God bless you.